The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Hi, I'm Azura Delano, and I'm listening to Flame on Podcast, and Courtney is my way sister that Bianca gave me. They say goodbye.
Welcome to Flame On. I am Brian the Bear. I am here with four out of the clan that is Flame On currently. We have Oral.
Hi, everybody. I'm back.
Where were you?
I didn't go anywhere. I never get to go anywhere.
Oh, it's okay, Oral. I feel your pain.
Oh, wait, now that's not true. You went to BentCon, what, 2 years ago or whatever?
Yeah, but lately I've not been able to do anything.
Well then that? I feel nice to be like, I'm back.
Yes. So that's Eric.
Hi.
And of course you heard Jared.
Hi.
My brother Jeff is out doing things that we will not speak of in this podcast for impropriety's sake. No. And then Pat, of course, and I are still recovering from our trip to HeroesCon. We'll talk about that, of course, after we get into some movie news and some television
Eric
stuff.
Go to.
We'll talk about that too. But I'd like to kick off with probably one of the gayest movies of the year, and one that I have not seen, so I will be sitting back listening to y'all's discussion of
Maleficent.
Am I the only one that saw Maleficent?
Yes.
Yeah. Really?
I did not care to see
it. It was so fantastic.
Well.
Really? Why?
Dissenting opinion. What?
Now, okay, so we'll talk about why that is, but let's first start with how was it?
I loved it. I thought Angelina Jolie did a fantastic job. And what I really liked about it was with, this is the second movie, Frozen was the first, that it wasn't the boy saving the girl, that this one, it was almost like Maleficent was the mother figure for Aurora. Like, she's the one who kind of helped her through it because she saw that the fairies didn't know what the fuck they were doing, so okay, she kind of stepped in.
Who is Aurora?
She's
Sleeping Beauty.
Okay, sorry. I'm not a Disney queen and fairy tale lore.
What kind of fag are you?
Listen. All right, so go ahead. Sorry.
That and the special effects were fantastic. I mean, when she walked into the castle and like it was right out of the animated movie, and the laugh, like they cut the screen, but it was the original laugh that they use in the animated feature.
Nice.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was a great movie. It was a lot of fun.
So fun. It did sort of make Maleficent more of a sympathetic character.
Right. Of
okay.
course.
Okay.
Of course.
So I heard something about they're making a Sleeping Beauty movie.
No, that's a Cinderella
They're
movie.
Doing Cinderella.
Okay.
And I forget who, somebody from Game of Thrones is the prince. And then Little Mermaid with Hermione Granger.
I did see that, yes.
That so I'm excited for.
No too. Connection among these, just individual, yes. Individual universe
right.
sort of thing.
Right, they're just making live action of their animated hits.
Every okay. once in a while they do it. Remember back in the 80s when they had a Morgan Fairchild one? Oh my God, I love that one.
Oh, wow. Now, Jared, I'd love to hear just your dissenting opinion. Why did you just discount, like, what's going on?
Well, you know, hearing these wonderful things that the movie did, you know, it's great that they did that, but I'm just not a big Angelina Jolie fan.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm a terrible Disney gay because I don't buy into the glorification of these
princesses.
You know, very strong, powerful, independent villainesses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't identify myself as Maleficent or Ursula or uh-huh. whoever, so it's hard for me to immerse myself into that role.
I worship the Dark Phoenix. So that.
Yeah, seriously.
So you're saying you're a butch top?
Yes.
That's all I heard.
Speaking of, like, Maleficent and Sleeping Beauty, BuzzFeed's Sassy Aurora is your new favorite Disney princess that I posted on the Facebook wall.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
is
yeah.
Hilarious. Hashtag let it go, nerd.
All hashtag.
Okay. Are you guys, do you guys subscribe to the, it's like drunk Disney princess Tumblr?
No, I should.
Okay, I'll have to show that to you guys later.
Are they like, so it's imagery of scenes like intercut with or made to look more like.
Well, not Aurora, but it's just you know, these, you know, iconic Disney scenes from, you know, different princesses. But the text that is supplied in each of these frames is
that's
hilarious.
Is this where like twerking something something came from? Maybe
perhaps.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those that were pretty good. So, do you think they're gonna make a sequel of any kind? No,
that just, was the one shot.
Just a one shot thing.
It was very well done. Very well done. She looked like Maleficent.
Yeah.
To a T.
Yeah.
To a T.
Yeah, I was very impressed with just the imagery that I saw in the trailer, so.
But it's flipped the whole thing, because here, like, me growing up seeing the movie, Sleeping Beauty, that Maleficent was just this evil character, and yet, you know, her, the parents, Aurora's parents, were so good, and then in this movie, that Maleficent was a fairy that the father ripped off her wings.
Right.
And that fueled all the revenge.
Uh-huh.
You know, so the father was just this crazy fucking bastard. Crazy.
And that was the one played by Sholto something?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That's cool. No, and so this is kind of like Wicked for...
Right, exactly, for Maleficent.
Okay. And that's, again, why a lot of gay people love it. So there, of course, have been other movies. The one that is, I think, most exciting to us coming up is Guardians of the Galaxy, right? I mean, it's...
The movie that will be perfect.
Well...
In every way, shape, or form.
I certainly hope so. Now, there was
Nathan
a big...
Nathan Fillion.
Well, but we don't know who's playing now.
Richard because Ryder.
No, no. They went back and said
oh,
it's
really?
Not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why. Oh. That's why we posted. I think you posted
yeah,
on our
I posted
Facebook page.
It 'cause I got excited.
And a lot of people were saying that. I mean, we were talking about it at HeroesCon. We're like, oh my god, Nathan Fillion, this is great. He was going to be Green Lantern at one point. He was the voice of Green Lantern at one point. But, you know, wouldn't that be funny if Marvel said, "All right, let's make him Nova," or Richard Ryder specifically?
The only
so.
Thing I was worried when I heard the whole thing of Nova, I'm like, oh, that's great. But I'm like, wow, he's a little longer than tooth. I mean,
well,
obviously, Sam when Nova would show up, it would definitely then have to be Sam.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I'm if he's not Richard Ryder, I'm curious to see who he is. And it, you know, God only knows. I mean, James Gunn, the director, they're buddies. Like they have a close friendship. Fillion's been in other films of his. It's, you know, not surprising he's going to turn up.
Right.
But yeah, as what character? I guess that remains to be seen. And maybe it's all misdirection, and it actually will be Richard Ryder, and they just didn't want it to be revealed just yet, so they're doing that. Who knows? I don't know. Other movies that came out? Have you guys that?
Isn't Transformers coming out this week?
Transformers coming out soon.
Then we have Turtles.
And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like these are two movies that I probably will see just because
I'll see.
You know
I'll see Turtles on the. I don't know, on TBS, on a board
Sunday. I gotta know. When they're playing it for 8,000 times.
I mean, even if it's just a rag on it, I gotta know. I gotta see it. I gotta
Megan
see this
Fox
one.
Is,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the
oh, then you saw the imagery of the Shredder, of course.
Wolverine?
Yeah.
I was gonna say, it's not that I dislike any of these franchises. They're just not...
They're made by Michael Bay.
But no, it's not that. It's just that I just don't... They're not my... explicit like geekdom. Like I appreciate it for example, like everyone's all about Transformers, but I'm a Beast Wars generation.
Right.
Like Beast Wars is my Gen 1.
Well, yeah. We got the Dinobots coming, so we're
getting
there, girl.
That's different.
Yeah, no, there was one Dinobot, and
he was the most heroic of all.
I know.
Oh.
He died a hero's death.
Oh.
But yeah, it's just other than that, Turtles. I had turtle toys when I was growing up, but it's just, you know, Sailor Moon was coming, so out the window.
Well, I'm excited about some movies just came out on Blu-ray real quick. For those of you who aren't paying attention, Lego Movie just came out on Blu-ray.
Oh, my God.
What?
I saw it.
You liked it? No, you didn't. What?
No.
Whoa.
It was fun.
Whoa.
Yes, but if I didn't see it, I wouldn't have missed anything. Sorry.
You didn't play with Legos ever, did you?
I always played with Legos.
And you didn't like it?
No.
This was... Oh, my good God. Why did...
And the ceiling for me, why I hated it, then Will Ferrell showed up. And I was like, you know what?
But see, to me, that was the move. That was the moment. And we're spoiling, by the way. If you are spoiler adverse...
If you haven't seen this fucking movie by now, you're an idiot.
I'm just saying, in all things we talk about, we are not opposed to spoiling things.
But it came out in February.
I'm just giving our listeners a heads up. Now... What you're saying here, I think we talked about this, maybe indirectly when it came out, but that was the movie, the moment in the movie that transcended a kid's film for just whatever to something really special, because it unified the children who play with Legos now and the children, in air quotes, like myself, that go and buy sets and put them together and follow the instructions and could potentially even want to have them like all glued together.
And would
together.
Want it crazy glue, yeah.
So no, this is the moment that unifies, like I said, those two generations, and it gives, I feel like, a really kind of cool, touching little moment of like the father finally understanding what the kid's doing. And am I the only one that?
It was long. It was boring. Batman. My husband fell asleep because he was excited to see Batman. He goes,
"Well, Batman was kind of a joke. I mean, that was
funny though. That was the comical part. The other, everything else, I could have threw it out.
I feel like it was the oldest of the groups, and no offense, ladies, they're just fighting over their Lincoln Logs, Jerry, made of actual logs fashioned by Lincoln. Like,
I had Lincoln Logs. Did you not?
Did the 16th president of the United States give it to you?
Not directly.
It was the gift.
Yeah. Another movie that just came out, Grand Budapest Hotel. I don't know if we actually did talk about this way back. Wes Anderson film. Freaking gorgeous. Every movie he's done since Fantastic Mr. Fox has gotten better and better and just is so cute, so well crafted. It's like they do find places to shoot, but they also take a lot of time to really make them look exactly like they want, and they have a very strong visual style, and just the performances, all of them are impressive because there's a lot of dialogue in Wes Anderson films. It's very quick and it's all about rhythm, it's all about pacing, and it's just Ralph Fiennes is like the main character, basically, in Gustav. But the whole thing is framed by, you know, all these different people sort of up the chain telling this story. And it's a great, great movie. If you have a chance, it's out on Blu-ray now.
I have a question.
Please.
Now, how come as a group of gay men, we don't like... gush over like the rise of the 300, rise of an empire of half 300 half naked men running around with long red fucking capes? No, we talk about the fucking Lego movie.
Okay.
Budapest.
To be fair, if I saw the movie, yes, I would be gushing about it. But again, I ain't got time for that.
Now, Jared and I similarly went to see Immortals together years ago.
Oh God,
yeah, we did too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Immortals, we gushed about the man candy in that.
Oh, you mean Superman?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Before he sucked. No. Yeah, whatever. But no, I mean we've done that before. Now I have not seen the new 300 though, so
I haven't seen it. I'm surprised we don't even like.
And they are in blue capes this time. Of an empire.
Oh, they are blue. Oh, that's handy. So I think we'll separate that. I want to see it, but I just didn't. So
yeah. I haven't watched it yet. But I was curious. As a group of gay men, we're not talking about a half naked man.
Well, we should fix that. All right.
Yes.
All right. We'll fix that, dear listeners. We will come back at some point in the near future with stories of half
naked
men.
Pat, get the porn.
We could do porn reviews. Actually, I thought about that. I don't know if people would be interested in hearing that or
you,
not.
You kind of no gay comic geek. Shout out to you, Paul.
Oh yeah, he does that porn
reviews.
Thing.
Yeah,
right.
But he does a visual thing where he shows some porn or scene from the porn.
Yeah.
So like. For an audio medium, I don't think it would be.
What about like a mystery theater thing?
You want a riff tracks porn?
Yes,
I love.
Let's do that.
I actually love, especially the ones with bad story.
Oh my god! Yeah,
what story?
Well, yeah,
there are some what's the website now? They do mostly hetero porn. I don't think they do any female or homosexual porn.
Okay,
you mean like called, Game of Bones?
No, Braz. Well, I don't know Brazzers. I've seen like they have. Story again, and it's a web porn thing, and they have great stories, so I'll watch some of them just to see the terrible story. And their men are cute. See, my problem with heterosexual porn isn't the women, it's that the men are usually hideous, but these porns actually have really attractive men.
See, that's my problem too, is that, you know, every once in a while I'll find like gay porn where there's, oh, guys are just positively hideous. Yeah, so yeah. I'm like, yeah, let's see what Straight Porn's got. Okay, got a couple.
Yeah,
of, couple nice ones.
You get for a dollar.
Well, you pay for porn,
or you get them at Bingo or whatever. But no, softcore porn was always my favorite go to because the men again were more attractive, and they didn't show any of the women's, you know, down there. So it's good. I was fine with everything.
Skinamax,
exactly. I love Skinamax, and they had story too. You know, it was somewhat fun and weird and interesting.
Sin City Diaries. Not that I've watched it.
Uh-huh.
I think I was going to sit up now.
I'm trying to remember titles that I used to watch. Anyway, well, that's like a separate microset there. Let's move to TV. Did anyone else watch Fargo?
Nope.
Nope.
Never saw the movie.
Well, the good news is you can watch the show.
I know.
Have nothing to do with the movie. So it is just wrapped up. 10 episodes. Martin Freeman from Hitchhiker's Guide, Sherlock, Lord of the Rings, or The Hobbit, mm-hmm. rather. Who else is in this?
Billy Bob.
Oh, Billy Bob. He's between those two and some of the other actors who are a little lesser known. Bob Odenkirk's in it. Like, such good acting. So well done. It is basically just the people who know, who've seen the movie or not, doesn't matter. It's the same sort of setting. And a lot of the same archetypes from the Coen Brother original movie, but what they did is they made a whole new story that just has like echoes of it. And there is actually a tangible plot connection, but it doesn't matter much at all. Like, it's just a detail. And it's over 10 episodes on FX, so it probably you can catch it still on demand or whatever, Hulu or something. I don't know. But seriously, it's one of the best shows I've seen in a while because it has that same excellent Coen Brothers. Sort of, it's crime, bad things happen to bad people and good people, but the story is just fascinating. The characters are real, like they feel real, authentic people. In fact, some of the plot, you know, is almost like, it's so weird and so doesn't follow like your normal, like, what's his name? Hero's Journey.
Joseph Campbell.
Thank you. It doesn't follow that normal trajectory, you know. You know, I'm not going to spoil a lot with this because none of you have seen it. And, you know, some of you might want to still see the ending. But the hero doesn't necessarily come out on top. The villain doesn't necessarily get the desserts that you think he should get. But he gets, you know, like there's all these things that just don't play the normal way. Yeah, you
like
think.
A Marvel comic.
Well, yeah. I mean, in certain ways, Marvel kind of plays with this idea too sometimes. But it's just the writer was on a couple podcasts I listened to. And he's like, I wanted this to feel believable, like it actually happened, even though it's all fiction. So, Oliver Platt's in it in a great role. Just if you have a chance, go check it out. It's awesome. Now, Orange is the New Black. I will tell you right now, and you can spoil this. It doesn't matter to me. I did enjoy the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
That's as far as I got.
Of season one. Oh, my God.
I am not like the 99% of everybody else that was like the mainlining animals. It.
I was the against animals. It because...
Trap, Oral trap, to the Aaron. Cage is full. The cage is full. I'm sorry. It's okay.
Oral and Aaron like talking about. I'm like, I don't want to do a damn show about damn lesbians. I'm like, it's terrible, but it is fucking awesome. It is awesome. Like this second season, they bring in new characters, and oh my God.
And that's the thing. Like, Orange is the New Black is just a really like inside the actor's studio breakdown of characters.
Yeah.
And so if
well,
you
that's this
love,
season.
Yeah, this season. So if you love character development, this season is all for you.
Yep. Okay.
They create. Like, tangible new people that you root for. The villain for this season was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it focused less on, like, the main character, Piper, as opposed to all these other people in the women's prison.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know that this is all based on the memoirs.
And Janeway's in it.
Oh, fuck, she's awesome. I did see this when she was in the first episode. Piper in the book like is only in prison for a year.
Yeah, she's only in prison for a year.
So do these seasons basically take place in like not over a year? They're like, you know, a smaller period of time. Is that the deal?
It's very
well. It felt like a year.
Yeah, but the thing is, there are certain aspects that they do where they're like, oh, this is coming up, and so they'll talk about it for a couple of episodes until it happens. But it really doesn't matter because they keep how much time they have, like, pretty much to themselves.
I gotcha.
Like, it could be, she could have just been in prison for 4 months. She could be in there for 7 months.
I see.
You don't really
They leave it. That intentionally ambiguous to let it stretch out and tell their story.
I gotcha. And let me tell you, like, last season we had an introduction to everybody. This season you have introductions to new people, but now everybody met last season. Again, each episode is their own.
Oh, okay.
And you're getting to know how fucking crazy they are.
So it actually gets behind their skin and kind of tells their story.
Yeah, there's this one girl who thinks she's getting married to Christopher. And oh my gosh, she is. I thought she was really, like, all first season, you really think she's engaged to this man,
Christopher. Well, let's not ruin that.
Well, I'm only on episode five, did I say? Four, five?
You know, because Orange is the New Black. The twist for Orange is the New Black, like, changes your dynamic of that character.
I see.
Yeah.
So,
completely.
Wow. That's cool. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
So definitely give it a shot.
And I will. It's not so much that the first episode didn't. It wasn't interesting. I think I was just busy. But the good news is it's on Amazon. Netflix. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And you can watch all or one or two or whatever your pace you want. Now, have any of you taken up Penny Dreadful?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
I'm on episode six.
I didn't
seven,
see last.
About to
I
oh shit! You guys
night.
Are past me now.
Oh my god! It's so. Did you watch four? Did you watch episode four?
Hold on. So I. The last thing I saw that made me really want to bring this back up on here is Dorian Gray and Josh Hartnett's character, who I fucking can't remember his name. That absinthe-fueled moment of passion, it was a late-night thing. I was watching it. Pat was asleep, and it was just kind of like, oh, he didn't really care for it, so I was like, oh, I'll just watch it now. And I was just like, okay, it's very cool. You know, it's moody, dark, atmospheric, Victorian. Just
girl
great.
Coughing everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, poor Billy Piper.
So, you know what? This is the only series where I haven't minded her. I really loved her character. Problem is, I think Billy Piper is a good actress. I can't stand Rose.
Yeah.
Like, and it's hard for me to disassociate, but, you know, she got her teeth fixed.
And she can actually talk now a little bit. Yeah, no. And they didn't. It's a different accent.
Consumption?
It's a very different character for her than I've seen her do.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, it's closer to her Diary of a Call Girl character, of course, because she's kind of a prostitute. But it's different than that too. So,
but it's
so
all these mythic characters
now
coming
I'm ahead
together.
Of both of you?
Yeah, you are.
Oh. No, you and I.
Well,
and I are the same. I did not watch this past episode,
which was on Sunday, right?
Uh-huh. Okay.
And this one next week is
the season finale.
Season finale. Yeah.
Now I believe it's doing very well. It is mythic, and I'm very excited to see where they go with this, who they kill off. I love the Frankenstein story because it is not what you thought it would be.
Nope.
It is not the classic Frankenstein story.
Nope.
If anything, there's a bit of like Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, element. Yes. Exactly. And I feel like the girl, what's her name? The actor we were just talking about, that Rose.
Billy Piper.
Brona Croft.
I really feel like that she's going to be that bride. Frankenstein. I think that's what she's going to want.
It seems like that's kind of what they're telegraphing a little bit. Yeah, I mean, that'd be hilarious. But it's Legally Extraordinary Gentlemen done I don't know about better than the comic, but in way better than the movie. But it is basically that idea.
Let's take these fictional things.
Let's mix them up. Let's have them tell a story of an adventure with intrigue and sex and violence and everything. So
Dorian Gray. Oh my god, he's so fucking hot.
Yeah, it's and he's interesting. He's not an outright villain, at least that I've seen.
Well,
he's got some complexity to him, whether or not he is ultimately villain.
And, you know, Timothy Dalton's in it, and he's great, and Eva Miles is fantastic.
Wait,
as
Eva
Vanessa
Miles.
Ives.
That's not Eva Miles, is
it's,
it?
Oh,
no,
Eva,
no, no. It's not my. I know who you're talking about, but it's not.
Sorry,
her.
It's. Oh,
it's the chick from the 300 sequel.
Yeah, right.
I forgot her name. But anyway, yeah, she's great. She's great. And so I saw from the preview of the next episode that. Who?
No.
Anyway, she's got some kind of lesbian story with Mina Parker or something. I don't know. That's what they sort of alluded to.
So you need to.
I'll get caught up.
To watch
I'll get
it
caught up.
It's good. That's an entire episode. They dedicate that.
That's the next one that he's about to
watch.
Yeah,
yeah. And I think it's kind of like a backstory, kind of explaining why is she with the Timothy Dalton's character, who's vaguely Alan Quartermain, but not really. All right. So Penny Dreadful's great. Is there any other television? I feel like there might be some other show that I've left off. Anything catching you guys right now? Anything? Exciting you.
Oh, I finally discovered Rick and Morty, the animated series.
Yeah, isn't
that's
that
like
great?
Back to the Future.
Uh-huh.
If Doc Brown truly was a mad scientist
Morty,
and a drunk.
Morty, you have to keep this in your anus.
It's
still taut and malleable.
My thing is that I am not an Adventure Time fan. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't think that it's funny.
Uh-huh.
It's just I don't like it. Doesn't
yeah.
It's it's a children's show that has elements of adult, but I like Rick and Morty because it just really just goes for it. Uh-huh. And they're like, you know, they're inside a body, and it's like Jurassic Park in one episode. And there's a scene where they're like, oh, you know, like, just be quiet. If, you know, if we don't move, chlamydia won't see us. And chlamydia looks like this giant, like, dinosaur. And he's like, wait, no, I was thinking about a T-Rex. That's T-Rex. And it's just, it's really fucked up. Uh-huh. And they give you, like, squidgy little eyes. And, like, it's gross and grotesque.
Adult Swim, right?
Yeah. But it's hilarious.
Is it made by the people who do Adventure Time? Or is it just?
No.
Dan Harmon. Is one of the big people behind it.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Animation style almost reminds me of Super Jail almost.
Okay,
yeah,
I can see that.
What I realize what we haven't talked about: the season finale of Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah,
see, and this is where I have to walk into another room because I really don't want to be spoiled.
Eva Green, please. Vanessa Ives.
All right, so. So you want to talk about the season finale of Game of Thrones? I mean, you go for it.
I will say this, that this past season was the most entertaining season.
Really?
I feel yet. There's a lot of character growth and development. People who needed to die, died.
Yeah,
people
I do
who
know
didn't
that.
Want to die, died.
Uh-huh.
That's
Game of Thrones.
I will say this. I'm not an emotional person.
Uh-huh.
I'm very cruel and cold when it comes to, like, TV shows.
Bitch.
Yes, I'm a bitch. Uh-huh. But the final scene in Game of Thrones just literally broke me down.
Really?
Like, I lost my shit. And it's not even, like, a really, like, powerful as in, like, people died or, you know, triumph.
Uh-huh.
It's the letting go of something and looking towards your future. And the way they did it was just so powerful and palpable for me. Like, I just lost it.
So, just so people know where I'm at the first episode of season 3.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
But Pat has actually watched more than that, and he's like, well, because, you know, he's home during the day, and so he had lots of free time to listen to or watch that, and I'm like, oh, crap. So now, the good news is we can catch up really quickly, get to season 4 and probably watch that. So, soon I will be where you are, and I will know all, and then we'll wait together.
Watch Penny Dreadful. You guys need to watch this.
But
I just assume.
Joshua and I both. Yeah.
Oh, you too?
No, I only was interested after someone said it was League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I was like, I love that. I would love to see that. So, I'll give a quick shout out. Adventure Time. Not Adventure Time. I did this before. Gravity Falls. Similar to Adventure Time. One of my favorite shows from that same group of kind of people from that Flapjack show, whatever. Is coming back. Finally. They've been doing these little shorts on the Disney Channel, and it's finally coming back. So if you're a Gravity Falls fan, you got to check it out. You got to watch it. Even if you're not, check it out. It's great. Let's talk about Heroes Con. I'm not going to make this a big thing because obviously, unfortunately, due to events beyond our control, not all of us were allowed to go.
Just let it out, Eric. Let it all out.
So...
Mulan in the movie.
Aren't you glad we didn't get her on?
So originally Eric, myself, Pat, Cap from the Nerdy Show, and Aaron, of course, Aaron Holland from a comic shop.
Not Oral though. Never Oral.
Well, you know, maybe you can work out something for next year. You guys can, like, I don't know, do something because you're off on that day now, right? Saturday. I mean,
do you not understand how this works? Eric, drop some knowledge.
I've waited 5 years.
But you got to go 1 year. Oral's never been.
He gets to go on the drinking ventures.
Oh.
I get to go to the cons.
All right, well, that works.
The drinking ventures only happen once a year.
You went to the beer one?
No, I didn't.
Well, oh, no,
he didn't. Told me maybe next time you get to go, but you can't go. All these people, some of these people don't even work at the store. They get to go before you.
I'm so sorry. So, Heroes Con was in Charlotte, as it is every year for the last 30-something years. Eric had a fabulous run last year going around kissing creators, having creators kiss them, wearing his amazing Wonder Woman outfit. Just having a gay old time. This year did not happen. I'm so sorry. Nope. I was devastated. Like, Pat and I are really looking forward to it because, I mean, besides the two of us, I mean, you know, Cap, Aaron, Tony, Baldini, and
that's what replaced
Matt. No, Tony was there. Tony's been there every year. Matt Trench from the Community. If you guys haven't met him,
Matt.
He's cute. He's very nice. Very nice guy. They all went, and actually, Tony and Matt worked the Nerdy Show booth, selling their stuff. Tony got commissions, all that good stuff. Pat and I ran around, did our thing, met people. We lined up like a bunch of interviews. So there's some really cool stuff I hope we'll be able to pull off here soon.
Are you done yet?
No, one more thing, a couple more things. I want to talk about the fact that we did a panel, and this panel was the first LGBT panel specific in HeroesCon history. We had it confirmed.
That I had my name attached to, and I didn't even know I was supposed to be a part of it. So that just broke my heart even more when I saw that fucking posting on Facebook.
I only ever just said, hey, we want to do it. And yeah. So it was with the Hernandez brothers from Love and Rockets. It was with Terry Moore from Strangers in Paradise. And it was with Kate Leth from Kate or Die. All amazing creators who have done gay characters and or are queer on. The Hernandez brothers and Terry Moore, not so much, but Kate is a queer creator. And we had a great panel. We had great attendance. Like, I was actually thinking we had, like, you know, 10, 15 people. I think we had at least 30, maybe 40 people. Like, there was a big room, but a lot of seats were filled. There's video of it up on our Facebook page right now. We're going to put out the audio in its entirety up in a future release when we get that edited. And I had a lot of great feedback. Everyone seemed to really enjoy it. It was the best experience I could have hoped for. And next year we'll follow it up because Eric will be with us and we'll have a different panel.
And I'll open up my makeup bag and out come Oral.
Somehow amazing.
Hi, everybody.
I'll unzip my dress and there'll be Jared.
I will say this. Actually, this is the kind of con, Jared, you would do very well, unlike MegaCon. Because it is creator-focused.
Oh, good.
Art.
Disney. Art. Hollywood.
Bad mouth. The local con?
Listen, no, it's not MegaCon's fault. They're so successful as a show that the artists get lost in the noise, I think. And we and
yeah,
we,
get
we
in
know.
There. Get in there, yeah!
But seriously, Heroes is a very artist comics focused. That's the point. They don't have media guests. They don't have these crazy, anime everything. It's comic books. It's artists. Lots of SCAD graduates, of course, it's right up the road. Mm-hmm. It is the kind of con that you not only can see great art, but as an artist, you get in there and you can network and you can just. And that's
well, I felt
happen.
Like when I went last year, I always put artists on a certain kind of like almost like a pedestal kind of thing that they're above us kind of thing. And then when I was there, they were just like talking like every and just so
we are great. Regular people, you know.
Jared, I didn't say you. Why you put yourself in that category? You're not there yet, girl.
Girl, you can stand with the legendary children, but you're not quite legendary yet. Well, I'm sorry. That's a Paris is Burning reference. I wasn't dogging you. You know I love to crack the whip over your artistic talents.
No comment.
but seriously, if there's any way we can in more force next year be there. It is an inexpensive con. I don't know how much they are for exhibitors, but it's like $40 for the whole weekend for guests. The panels, otherwise, I went to a censorship panel, talked about the. You guys are familiar with Alex and Bechdel's Fun Home? This is a lesbian coming of age story in a graphic novel. And
that's why I haven't read it.
They had it in part of like a college reading program, and the state legislator flipped out because there's some sort of, not offensive, but not obscene either. Explicit scenes.
They're candid.
Yeah, I mean, it's about a woman coming of age and her sexuality. There was sex in the comic. And the legislator in South Carolina flipped out, and they took money from the school's operational funds, so they couldn't basically pay for it. Like, it was this whole thing. We talked about that. Talked about Fred Wortham. There was actually people, there was two presenters, one pro Wortham's evil. He did stupid things. He lied, yada, yada. And then a guy who came on and said, actually, he was a good person. He did all this great outreach in Harlem when nobody else would. Like, he was well-intentioned, but he did make mistakes, and there were other issues. So it was really a well-balanced thing. And then Dennis Kitchens from Kitchen Press, or I think it's Kitchen Sink Press, who's done all this alternative underground comics for years and years and years, started the CLBDF, Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. He came and talked about his experiences with censorship, and I talked to him after. He's hooking us up with a gay comics creator from the 70s, Howard Cruz, which, you know, if that plays out, we could have an interview with one of the very first gay comics creators ever. Wow.
What was it like to be reviled, spit upon by mainstream America? How did you deal?
Drank.
So, I mean, you know, the Hernandez brothers are amazing. I had only been familiar with Love and Rockets, and now I've read at least like three or four of their volumes, and there's a lot. Terry Moore, so sweet, such a nice guy. He Strangers in Paradise is a book that I've been familiar with, and I've read a little bit here and there. But man, he just is such a genuine person, and so earnest in getting the word out about these characters and his story and people. And like, he has people write him and tell him horrible, horrible things about his characters and how, you know, whatever they are and all this. And he actually like reaches out to him and like talks to them. He's like, what can I do? What, you know, let's, how can
Did
I
he answer the question of why his comic books are Terry Moore's Echo and not just Echo? Why his name has to come first? Why he's so pompous and arrogant? I mean, I'm kidding.
Well, you know, he self-publishes everything. So it's kind of like that is his brand.
Right.
So, I mean, the name of the publishing company is like whatever.
Terry Moore?
No, it's not Terry Moore. It's something else. But that's why I think they do that, because okay. Everybody knows Terry
It's Moore. Not TM, because that's trademark.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I really had a great time. We met some great fans of ours. Stephen Mowry was there, of course.
Hi, Stephen.
You follow Facebook or Twitter, you know Stephen, because he comments on pretty much almost every post. We met his boyfriend or husband. And kind of joked about how he makes fun of him for talking about us, like, with him. Like, he said, oh, yeah, Pat just posted, Brian just posted, blah, blah, blah. And his husband's like, you don't know these people. You're crazy. What are you doing? But now he's met us all, and he's like, okay, I can't bust on him anymore. So that was hilarious. We met some of his friends. God, it was just great. It was great. So I don't want to,
It was the best of times.
I don't want to put
it
the
was
salt.
Never even the worst of times. You couldn't even imagine it could be the worst of times, because it was such a wonderful time and everybody was so great. We had a wonderful time.
But I had Kawhi to your dad. I had Kawhi to your dad.
Brian, I'm glad you had a good time.
I am too. And, next year. Next year will be different.
Next year.
Excuse me.
Uh-huh.
When we I'd like to pull a Game of Thrones meme.
Okay.
Cersei, more wine.
I can handle that. So let's move on. We will talk briefly about music, if anyone has anything exciting. The one thing I will talk about briefly is Adore Delano's new album.
How is it?
Which is actually surprisingly good. Like, I don't dislike Adore. I didn't know what to expect. I mean, you know, Danny Noriega. Sorry, Danny Garcia. Danny Noriega is a former American Idol contestant. So you know the guy can sing.
Right.
But what I didn't realize, he sounds like Darren Hayes. Pat's like playing me a song. He didn't say anything about who it was. I'm like, well, what album of Darren Hayes is this? He's like, no, it's not. It's Adore. Like, oh my God, it's just there. It's amazing. So really good in that sense. But then there's songs like DTF that are just schlock drag queen sort of humor and not just, you know, whatever. She does a song with Alaska. I forgot what it's called, but it's okay. You know, again, it's kind of what you'd expect. Right. But then there are these songs that transcend that. And those are the ones that make the album, I think, worth checking out. So I'd recommend just go online, listen to the tracks, right. Maybe download one or two. Or if you like the whole thing, get the whole thing. Lana Del Rey's got a new album out. I listened to Ultraviolence, and I read an article about her basically wanting to kill herself, which is like, God, come on, girl. Get it together. Like, you're doing pretty well here. Don't be all morose. But I think it's like her character more than anything. I haven't heard the rest of the album yet, so I'm delaying judgment. Is there any music that's getting y'all excited? I feel like we're musically out of touch these days.
No, Fits in the Tantrums. Oh, like, yeah. We're finally getting really good, like, acts and bands coming to Orlando.
Uh-huh.
So Erasure's coming.
Yeah.
So if you haven't gone down that Erasure hole in a while, definitely, because they're coming to town. Orlando,
I did in 1986.
Fits into Tantrums, I've been listening to a lot over the past couple of months. Uh-huh. I really enjoy them. They're coming to town. Lily Allen is coming to town. I'm going to see her.
I need to go check. I'm surprised Pat hasn't mentioned. Or maybe he did mention that we're... Yeah, he did mention. Because, yeah, we love Lily Allen. She's great.
Buy tickets so we can go.
All right, all right. We'll talk about it.
That was no.
No. I've liked Lily Allen since her first album, so I'm fine with that.
And then download me her album.
I don't know if I ever talked about it. I went to see Christina Perry with Pat. Did I talk about this? Did I tell you guys?
Yes.
It was a great concert, and she is a hell of an entertainer. It is not nearly as down, like, you know, girl playing piano and kind of singing sad love songs. But, I mean, lots of positive, happy, fun. She's just a great performer. So if you ever have a chance to see Christina Perry live, she's great. Video games, honestly, I haven't done a lot of gaming lately. Actually, I take that back.
We missed E3.
Well, we did miss E3. Thankfully, our friends at Nerdy Show covered it extensively.
Good.
I'm very excited about what Nintendo has coming up and what they just released.
What Nintendo title? There are several Nintendo titles coming.
Well,
the one they just released is Mario Kart 8.
Yes. So, now, I am a long-time Mario Kart player, since the beginning, I believe. And, Pat as well. And so when it came out on a Friday, came in the mail, and then we basically spent the entire weekend playing it. Yeah. Like with minimal interruption. It's great.
I love the levels.
Yes. Yes.
My thing is, though, this is my pet peeve from having played Mario Kart for, you know, the past like 3 to 4 iterations. They gave you every one of, and Nicole, one of our customers, love you, Nicole, goes, they gave you all of the bastard Koopa kids.
Yep.
But they took away King Boo.
Oh, you're right.
And Drawbones.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they gave me not one, not two, but 3 Peaches. Who the fuck needs a pink gold Peach?
Yeah.
That's some bullshit.
I didn't get that either.
Carl.
Of course he does.
But Shy Guy is now a unlockable character to play with.
Yeah.
Lakitu is a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
The levels, the game dynamics, I love how they merge a lot of the different disparate Mario Kart games for all of the different Nintendo platforms.
Yes.
Together. So you're driving along walls and like anti-grav hovering and, you know, you're flying through the air and you have like a parachute. Or
you're
a
going underwater. Or you're using a bike. You're using ATVs.
Yeah.
You got your classic cars. Like, there's tons of customization. You unlock all this stuff. There's classic tracks that they've redone that look amazing.
Moo Moo Meadows, if you want to see how much processing power the Wii U has as opposed to just like the Wii, Moo Moo Meadows is that shit because it's gorgeous, especially if you have like a high def TV.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, I played online a little bit, got my ass kicked, even though I'm not terrible.
It's hard to play with the Wii wheel now. I'm garbage.
Yeah,
now.
And that's right, you're playing with the wheel still.
Yeah. I love the wheel. I've learned how to play on the wheel. I gotta deal with it.
Well, the tablet's a fun one to play, and I feel like it fits my hand pretty well. The new controller, advanced?
Hands, what I call 2 Christmas hams that have opposable digits.
Bitch. No. But actually, I also play with the classic Wii controller, the Wii Classic, whatever. That one works pretty well, too. So,
if I may.
Please.
Going on E3.
Oh, yeah.
As a dedicated Koei Warriors fan, I was a little excited when they brought in more footage of Hyrule Warriors.
Yes.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a mindless, stupid action game, but I love just mulling through hordes and hordes and hordes of peons and generals and all that, but in a Hyrule setting. Kind of excited about.
Yeah,
it.
Oh, wait a minute. They're making a Dynasty Warriors mashup with Legend of Zelda.
Yes.
No, and you can play as Link. You can play as Sheikah.
Zelda.
You can play as Zelda. You can play as Impa. Like, it's legit. It's going to be amazing. And like, it's got these crazy like Final Fantasy looking, you know, whatever the hell those are, ultimate moves or summonings or something. It's crazy.
What, and what's it called? You mean Hyrule Warriors?
Okay. Yeah, Limit Breaks.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. So, no, I'm very excited about that. Of course, they put footage out of the new Zelda for the Wii U coming out, I guess, next year.
Looks just like Skyrim.
It's gorgeous. Like, it's just straight up gorgeous. And it's a nice blend of the cell shaded that they did with, like, you know, Wind Waker, but also, like I guess, like Skyward Sword more than anything.
No, it looks like Skyrim.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've never played Skyrim, so I don't know.
I love Skyrim.
Yeah. It looks like Skyrim.
Well, and they're making the claim now that it's like Skyrim in the sense that anywhere you see...
It's an open world.
It's an open world and all this stuff.
It's about time that they truly gave you that. Yeah. Because while Zelda has gotten really expansive, you still feel that we're
okay,
on
now
a
we're in this
path.
World. Now we're on this island. Now we're on this. And Eric is falling asleep, so let's move on.
Good morning.
All right. So let's talk about... Chicks, man. No, comics. What is one of our favorite things to talk about? Comic books. There's been a lot of crazy stuff going on in DC and Marvel, of course. You know, we talked about how Forever Evil wrapped up and all that, I believe, last time. That's done.
There's nothing really crazy going on in DC right now.
I guess the biggest thing is just the
Futures End, Futures Batman End, Eternal.
The weekly books. I missed... I'm still on episode 5 of Batman Eternal.
Well,
all of a sudden I turn around, it's like 11.
Well, and that's what happens with these weekly titles.
I have to read.
I'm actually like I told you I kind of got bored because things were just moving along kind of slowly. But they're weekly titles, so you know they're not going to be.
I mean, I like Future's End. It's just it's because it's a weekly comic. It just jumps.
Yeah,
so much,
it's just like 52 back in the day. But I felt that one, and this, and probably with this too, they'll hit a point where everything starts to come together.
Right.
Kind of like Hickman. And then you'll go, oh, okay. And then everybody will jump back and have to read and catch up.
And then this Wednesday, I'm really excited for. Jeff Johns and John Romita, finally Superman, number 32.
It looks great. Now, what I'm wondering, and DC was doing okay with continuity, but you have Doomed going on.
No, this is separate.
But it's... So is it before, after, under?
Wonder Woman's dealing with all the gods, but yes, she's hanging out with Supergirl.
So basically what you're telling me is, not that Marvel is great about keeping stuff like that, but they do historically do a better job, I think, of coordinating among the editors. So you're just saying...
No, they don't. Sometimes. No, they don't.
They used to. Maybe they...
Yeah, when everything has a tie-in, when the tie-ins come out.
Now, and obviously, Captain America, and one thing, he's dying, and another thing, he's lost his
powers. Off-world, but yet he's in New York hanging out with the Red Skull.
Oh, fine. I just want to know, I guess my thing was just, Doomed hasn't ended, we're not sure how it's going to end, but obviously, Superman will be fine. But
no,
I just didn't know how that would play out and fit in. So, no, I'm excited too. The art looks great.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
I love Romita Jr.'s stuff. You know, the story could be good. I don't know. I mean, it's Jeff
Johns.
And
it showed the first few pages. Fucking Jeff Johns with his throwbacks. Got to be fucking Titano.
Yeah.
Really, the fucking ape. Just give me the starfish, Johns. Just give me that fucking starfish.
You know
again.
It's coming. Starro's coming.
Oh,
I hate Starro.
Why?
I hate Starro.
Why do you hate Starro?
I just hate Starro. It's a starfish.
You look, Staryu and Starmie were my favorite Pokemon. So,
that's different.
So what else? Okay, so yeah, that's the crazy against going. What else in DC is interesting these days?
Wonder Woman is so great.
Yeah,
it's gearing up for their big like war for Mount Olympus thing.
Uh-huh. Well, it's funny in her book. She's afraid to touch on the whole war, the God of War power. Mm. But in Superman, Wonder Woman, she's glowing. She's talking to the troops.
Yeah,
she's like telepathy going, you know me. You know who I am.
Right.
I'm war. It's like, oh, well, excuse me, bitch.
But other than...
What's Green Lantern doing? I kind of dropped off and did he?
I haven't read. I don't know.
I'm 2 issues behind.
All I know is there's some big war thing.
So you dropped
stuff.
Swamp Thing, I still love dearly.
Yeah, another Charles Soule book.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I just, the Forever People, Tomorrow.
Oh my gosh!
Why'd you have to
Oh, I'm so glad you reminded me.
No, it was awful.
It was awesome. What are you talking about?
I said when I saw it, I turned to Aaron. I'm like, you know, Brian loved it, right?
I loved it because, okay, let's be honest here. Admittedly, I am a giant Kirby fan. In fact,
I know because it was OMAC take two.
It really is. In fact, OMAC's in it.
Surprise.
Actually, I think I'm trying to remember OMAC. OMAC may not have been in this.
He's
one.
In Futures.
He was in Futures End. But still, it's the same people who did OMAC, and it's a love letter to Kirby, and it's a love letter to the new gods.
It's not a love letter. It's a love letter to Dan Dio.
But it's not. It really okay. If you are familiar with the Kirby Infinity Man, or is it Infinity Man?
Yes.
And the Forever People. It's a very Kirby thing. It's this idea that there's this rebellious youth and there are new gods, but they have all this power, but they need to learn humility. So it's kind of like Thor. They're kind of sent out on, in this case, like a long-term field trip.
Compared it to Thor.
But you know what the difference is? What you know, the new gods are, you know, Asgardian.
Yeah.
Like we all know that.
Yeah.
But the difference is, Thor is entertaining and interesting.
Oh, exactly.
Listen.
The art is beautiful.
The art is not bad in this. Ooh, it's not
a box.
Bad.
Let's bring out a box. Okay. And let's compare
Let me. Okay. The mother box that they do bring out was stupid. Like, it's very unadorned. It's plain. But there might be a point to that. Like, I don't know.
No, there's not a point. It looked like a goddamn cowbell.
Should we say 8 issues and then cancel?
Yeah.
Well, or Dan Zio, no, he's there. He'll push it.
OMAC only lasted, 8?
Well, because he's the president of fucking DC Comics.
It was... I am glad to say that I am not the only person who enjoyed it. I listened to another podcast, iFanboy, and they were big fans of it. So I'm not in the majority, but I'm not the only one that's buying it. Am I the only one that's buying it?
You're the only one that's buying it. We have a fucking stack we have to
buy. This is like, why'd you buy so many? This is awful. Aaron, why'd you buy so many?
Just make sure this you get me awful. A copy each issue, and then we're good.
Oh, we don't have to worry about that.
The whole fucking stack.
So
DC is just kind of like
they're vamping.
Batman and Ra's al Ghul. I mean, they're gearing up for the return of Damian.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
The bombshell covers have been fucking fantastic.
Yes, they have. I love those.
You know what? That is how you do a series of variants.
Yes,
you can order like from the retailer's point of view, and you know from the collector's point of view, they're worthless.
Yeah, right. Because they're just it's one.
Yeah, it's a cover B.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to order. You can only order bombshells and totally be fine. There's no extra charge for it. It's great because it's what variants are supposed to be. If you like this art, then by all means pick it up.
Yeah.
If not, don't fucking worry about it.
No, I actually really like those covers, and I'll try to go.
Especially
to
because those 3D covers are coming back, girl. They're coming back.
I know. I saw it.
September is going to be you hate September from now on. Mm. I'm excited about some of the ideas and what they're doing, even if the covers or whatever. I am curious to see how this whole Futures End thing plays into what's coming next, which people are now calling the Band-Aid. Possibly another crisis. We don't know. It's kind of
another crisis is coming. Jeff Johns introduced the Anti-Monitor. He's all about the old school shit.
Right. So, but now people are saying it might have old DC, not pre New 52 people coming.
All right. Tell those fantasy people to just stop dreaming because they ain't happening.
Well, Boots is coming.
They're going to start
Let's replace. Let's go back. I'm not saying that, but they're saying that it might be a part of it. I don't know. We'll see. And it's down the road, but. That's what I'm excited about DC right now. Otherwise, I'm like, DC. Now, Marvel, so Original Sin.
Oh, that was so badass.
Original Sin?
Yeah.
Obviously, when you kill Nick Fury and you behead him and you do terrible things.
And you're like, duh.
Yeah. Life, maldito. But what I did not expect is the end of number 4.
Was it 4?
Yes.
When Old Man Fury steps forward on his secret satellite. That they've all found their way to, and I guess they've been working for him, which go figure. And he's like proper old. Like he's
like
not
it
look.
Now makes sense
yeah.
of why all the other Nick Furies are all the same age. They never age.
Yeah.
You know, why Marcus is as old
Infinity Formula, my ass.
Well, no, I mean, they're still legit. It could still be Infinity Formula.
It could be.
He's still a longer-lived person than he probably should be.
Yeah.
But yeah, it doesn't mean he's going to be like, you know, Mr. Action Hero. So as much as this isn't maybe, and I don't know, they may still kill him off, but it definitely gives him, I think, potentially a proper send-off in that way. It's like, he's retiring.
Well, no, he'll just download his whole actual conscience towards one of his life model decoys, and they'll just take over from
there.
You
think that's what's going to happen?
Come on, it's Marvel.
I would, you know, be, you know, Steve would be even better than that. Like, he freaking, like, downloads into Nick Fury Jr.
And now he's black forevermore.
I mean, that would be the ultimate way to, like, preserve the legacy of the character and yet also
Dad, the
have
way
the...
you could live is through me.
Yeah.
And you know what? You say, you abandoned me. Fuck this shit.
Yeah, really. But otherwise, it's been fun. Yeah. They haven't... Mm-hmm. In the main series, they have not dealt with the secrets that have been exposed yet. I assume that's maybe coming.
No, I feel
that's
like
just
that's
the tie-ins.
That's the tie-ins. Okay. That's what the tie-ins are for.
Oh, Original Sins came out, and I was like, oh, what's it? Oh, I'll put this right back.
No, I think... Did I pick that up or not? I might have...
It's the anthology series.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think I picked it
the
up.
The only reason why I choked that book down is because the Young Avengers.
Right, yeah, yeah. Because
when
Avengers.
I saw them and they all look like lesbians, I was like, oh,
you know, and you know, I...
How was the Deathlock story? Terrible?
The Death... No, the Deathlock
story... Oh, I did
read
this. I did read this.
The Deathlock story is the better of the two, because, like, the Lockjaw issue is, like, two pages.
Yeah.
And that's just a cute, like, little...
That was
like,
really
whatever.
Cute with the Lockjaw and...
Too bad the art Lockheed. Was awful.
Well, didn't Lockheed show up, too, or no? Just Lockjaw?
Just Lockjaw.
Okay.
The Young Avengers thing is, I feel bad for those bitches.
Well, yeah.
Because you have, like, beginning of Runaways level, like... love for this series,
right?
Something that'll go down as like seminal work, and then you follow it up with this.
Yeah,
it's not, it's like even the little like asides that they
Who's
try to do
this one?
I can't remember. Yeah. It's just not, the art is rough,
right?
And it's not McKelvey's like gorgeous gorgeous rendering.
Yeah.
The story like mixes with Red Hood. And you're just like, why are these two worlds coming together in such like a
That's
like a
right.
jarring way?
Not Red Hood, the Hood.
I'm sorry, the Hood. Yeah, yeah. And it's just who happens to have
a red
Hood. Yeah. He's Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, it's just I don't see it. I hope it gets better.
Yeah.
Because I have loved the Young Avengers from their get-go.
Oh, me too.
After and I read one? Some of the oh. Mighty Avengers. I read the Mighty Avengers.
Wait, the
for
recent
them.
One?
No, the older one.
Oh, I like. Wait, which one?
The one where Scarlet Witch was
there
actually
was white
Loki.
People. There was white people in that.
I actually like that one. That was the Dan Slott one.
Mm.
I liked it. Speaking of Dan Slott, Silver Surfer is just tons of fun. It's the art. Allred's art's gorgeous. People keep saying it looks. It reminds them of Archer, which is hilarious because Allred's doing the same thing he's done for years. But it does actually have a similar thing, and because it's kind of funny. I think people are kind of seeing that.
It's
an
action comedy.
Yeah, it's very. I mean, I'll say it's very Doctor Who. And Slott said that as much. He's a big Doctor Who nut, like me and Oral, even though Oral doesn't always admit it.
I always admit it. I just don't
go on and on and on.
Pressure myself in front of others to Doctor Who.
Listen, TARDIS up his ass every chance he gets.
No one has made me the TARDIS shaped dildo yet. By the way,
That Thank you, thing. Listeners.
That was a thing for a while.
Look at it.
All right, you're done with that. So,
I've enjoyed Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Well, I don't know why there's production delays. I don't know if it's Allred or Slott. It does feel like it's been a few weeks.
It still comes out monthly, but it changes not every.
Let me ask you guys this, and I don't think any of us have any insight directly, but the whole rumored. We're going to put Fantastic Four and all related things on the shelf.
I can understand why.
But, I mean, do you really think they're going to pull Silver Surfer?
No.
Because was one of the ones they listed.
I think that they'll work with Silver Surfer.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic Four. And, you know, Robinson
He's
in Earth
taking
2
him apart.
Was good.
Oh, you don't think his stuff is good?
His Fantastic Four... I don't care.
It's lackluster. It's no Hickman's thing. Hickman's Fantastic Four to me was amazing, but no, it's interesting to me, and it does make sense from a marketing perspective. Of course, this is the who knows if this is even related to the big Marvel reboot, which people are now starting to speculate about whether that's true or not.
They were speculating about that.
Marvel is never rebooting. Marvel will always keep their timeline.
I believe that is more likely the case.
And all I heard was that the FF is just going to be dispersed.
Among other things.
Yeah, throughout.
Well, I mean, you have whatever's happening with Hickman's Avengers, which is actually finally kicking into high gear. It's interesting. Not only in New Avengers do you basically have the New Avengers, the Illuminati fighting Justice League.
Which the issue that comes out, I think, this week.
Uh-huh.
Plus the New Avengers annual, which is all about Doctor Strange,
uh-huh.
which I have read both of them. Uh-huh. They are good.
Okay.
If you miss the old Doctor Strange like series,
uh-huh.
that is what this is.
Huh.
And it gives you that art that they did with that Uncanny X-Men one-shot where Kitty talks to Scott. And, like, everything's really, like, kooky and quirky.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. That's the art that they use.
Oh.
But Doctor Strange, he ain't no joke.
No. Mm-mm. Well, and they've been kind of teasing the idea that he's really aggressively trying to find some power and take some shit back.
Yeah, he does.
Well,
read both of those, ladies and gentlemen.
Avengers dealing with the betrayal of Captain America. And whatever, you know, there's probably more to the story than we think we know, of course.
Well, is the Tannen... Oh, that's right. That's
No, this is a somewhat... I mean, Hickman is influenced by that kind of stuff, and even if he wouldn't maybe admit it directly or even be conscious of it, there are elements of identity crisis. There are elements of...
that whole thing is identity crisis.
Yeah, no, it is.
But, you know, like, having read Avengers 32, having read New Avengers and Avengers, it's... All of those pieces are coming together. And for Hickman fans, if you loved his Fantastic Four and you've liked or like you love his Avengers, like I know now that this is my Avengers run.
Really?
This is, yeah, like because I just not really cared. Like Bendis gave me bits and pieces that I really like enjoyed and I touch on, like Disassembled.
Right.
House of M wasn't him, but it was still like, it's still really good.
House of M was...
I'm thinking of Civil War, which wasn't him.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, House of M was him. He gave me things that I love. Search for a Sorcerer Supreme. Like,
that was good.
So happens to only love the stuff with the Scarlet Witch. Yeah. Not surprising.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's coming. Axis.
Well, yeah, I will get to that.
Okay.
But this is it.
Okay.
This is when people go back and say, oh, I love Bendis' run. Oh, I was a Geoff Johns fan. Hickman's Avengers is for me.
Yeah.
And everything is coming together.
What about Avengers World?
Avengers World, I read.
It's not bad. The art is okay. It's Caselli, the guy did.
Now, look, I didn't drink a bottle of wine, so can we move it along?
No, but I was going to say, I'm sorry. Axis, I'm interested in. I just don't know anything about it. Whatever.
It's going to be interesting to see how once Remender plays out his story in Uncanny Avengers, how that then ties into what's going on. And I'm excited because it sounds like Red Skull, Magneto fighting Red Skull, which makes a lot of sense.
Onslaught.
And it's on its like Onslaught. Yeah, exactly. Like, there's a lot of stuff from the 90s that Remender's playing with that really is cool. Mm. And he's making even cooler.
Have you been reading Magneto, Eric?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
It's good. It's very dark, but I feel like it's going to walk that line.
It gets darker.
It cracks me up that, you know, you read his book, he's like this little old man, and then he shows up in Uncanny X-Men. I'm like, Jesus, man.
That's that art style thing.
I know, but it cracks me up.
Uncanny X-Men just wrapped up their storyline of their X-Men versus S.H.I.E.L.D. That was great.
That was really
Dazzler.
Good.
Have you seen the Dazzler redesign that's going to be?
Yeah, I did, but I thought it was a joke. I didn't know it was really.
In fact, Anka was at Heroes Con, and people were asking him about it, and he was just like, Bendis wanted to do a redesign, and he had an eye for cosplayers, which is kind of funny. Now, and they do these redesigns, they're thinking, oh, people could dress up like this, and then they start kind of, well, what would be cool to see people do? So I don't know what the character is going to be. Obviously, coming from a bit of a more of a punk place, but she's done that before.
She's mad as hell, and she's not gonna take it anymore.
All New X-Men is dealing with the Future Brotherhood, which is fascinating.
Now it became fun knowing that, you know, they leave each other notes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah, don't do this.
Yeah.
But Xavier is fucked up. He's controlling everybody.
Yeah.
Even me. I don't like that at all.
Because you know what it is? It's that helmet, girl. That helmet dampens your powers.
And it's just like, I'm like, I'm reading it, and I'm, you know, it's the big reveal of how he's fucking with everybody. I'm like father, like son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just as fucked up as your father.
Well, I think he's worse, but it's certainly the extension of that legacy.
Yeah.
In,
I mean,
in
we
a
don't
very
know,
bad way.
You know, extremely, how bad Professor did it, we knew he pushed.
Right.
Or, you know,
that's true.
We don't know if he was just like, just shut the fuck up and listen to me.
Oh, by the way, can I say, you guys have seen the X-Men Peter Holmes web series where he has, he's Professor
mm-hmm.
Xavier
yeah.
and he fires X-Men. There was a guy at Heroes cosplaying as him,
oh, cool.
as Professor X. It was great. There's a picture up on the Flame On Show in the album from Heroes Con. What other Marvel stuff should we
Thor
mention?
Thor is great.
Thor just wrapped, or it's almost wrapped up. It,
one
it's
more?
A Galactus thing.
It's the aftermath.
Whew.
Yeah.
Fucking Asad Ribic, who was at Heroes, and by the way, is a delicious hunk of a bear. He's very, you know. Yeah. But
I could have kissed him.
I could have done other
things. Oh.
I love his art.
His, oh, yeah, his art's amazing, and he's killing it. And Thor, it's very bittersweet because of the two storylines, mm-hmm. and it's just like, wow. It's some of the best Thor they've done in
but
forever.
Now he has a sister.
Oh, that whole thing.
Oh, Lord.
Whatevs. We'll see how that goes. Daredevil's been amazing. I'm very excited.
Not reading it. Elektra has been good. Black Widow has been good.
Black Widow has been good.
Moon Knight has been fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Fucking. Warren Ellis.
Yep. Rat bastard.
And McKelvey. Artist. Crap. Can't think of his name.
That's on Moon Knight?
Yeah.
That's it. The both of them are going?
Declan Shalvey. Yep. Yeah, both.
Oh, my them. God. Yeah.
They're both.
Well, at least we got one trade out of it.
And I forgot who's rumored to come on, but or who's announced.
It's Brian Wood and somebody else.
Brian Wood.
I like Brian. I don't.
You like Brian Wood, Ultimate X-Men. That's the only thing you like.
I like DMZ.
I liked his Mara. Mara was good. DMZ's good.
DMZ's good.
His Star Wars is amazing.
Yeah, it's
not bad. But sometimes.
Mm. Now name this Marvel one. I'm waiting for the superheroes.
So, well, let's transition to indie stuff. Cause I was,
you mean the boom times? Oh, you can't stop indie books.
I did not pick up The Wicked and the Divine.
Oh, you messed up.
I didn't realize who was.
You fucked up.
You guys didn't tell me.
You fucked up, and we don't have any more copies. Second prints are coming.
Oh, because, see, I was told, if it's not on my list, Eric, don't take liberties anymore.
No!
Okay,
bitch,
Brian.
No, don't
gotcha. I'll just
me.
Follow the list.
You know very good and well I
I'll
said.
Just follow
Speaking of which,
list.
Where's my trees number one?
Oh, it's in your list.
Yeah.
I didn't get
it's in your poll.
Oh, okay, okay, good. Because I really was excited about that and I didn't even know it was coming out.
Girl, pull him a tree.
Gotcha. I'm there.
No, if it's McKelvey and
Gillen.
Gillen, I'm all up on that. That's great. McKelvey is one of my favorite of the newer artists, but
it's like an adult Young Avengers.
It's really good.
I heard
she is fantastic.
I heard
I'm sorry, Lucy.
Lots of gods fucking around and doing like media and sort of artistic, like the musicians. And
yeah.
They're just,
12 gods incarnate themselves every 100 years.
Uh-huh.
They give something to the world, like ephemeral, like uh-huh. music, or like they do like miracles. This time they incarnate themselves as pop stars.
Mm-hmm.
They live for 2.5 years and then they die.
Yep.
Cool. That's a great premise. I love it. I mean, and it's perfect for them. And this is an ongoing. It's not like Phonogram where it's like a, you know, six and done or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited about that. Our friend Ryan Brown, who it looks like will be on the show when it gets a little closer, is putting out God Hates Astronauts from Image.
Yep.
As an ongoing. It looks great. His art is awesome. The story is batshit crazy, but that's the charm of it. It's just really silly. And mm-hmm. they had a preview at the end of his issue of Manhattan Projects, which he did a great Manhattan Projects with Laika, little space dog out in the universe trying to make her way and getting all kinds of crazy stuff.
I saw
happen.
That at the end of like when the transformation happens, you're like, so we're doing this? I guess we're doing this.
Well,
you just
yeah, I mean, and it's who knows when we'll go back to the story. Hickman has said very publicly that is one of those series he doesn't plot out ahead, which is completely unlike everything else he does where he knows the ending before he starts. But it's
Cowl came out.
Okay.
Which I think is Higgins? Is it Higgins?
I don't know. We sold out before I got to read it.
Oh, shit. Well, Cowl is great. It's like, what if you union... To fight organized crime, you unionize superheroing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a short story, like universe called Union Dues, which I really love.
So if you like Cal, search for Union Dues.
But it is Higgins, the guy who wrote Nightwing.
Okay, thank you. Maybe I should have read his Nightwing before they canceled it.
No.
Okay, never mind.
This sounds like it's better than that. What else from Image or from any of our other
Rat Queens? Amazing.
I still need to check that out. Oh, I got the first issue.
It's out of stock right now. Well, that's how much it sold out. Like, really? We went through hundreds of copies.
That's the trade or the issue?
The trade is out. The single issues, pick it up that day, because if you don't, bitch, out of luck.
Lumberjanes. I have issue number one because Kate Leth designs the badges and she did a variant cover. And it's tons of fun. It's so cute. It's like a girls' camp with superpowers.
It is. It's like Buffy.
Oh, okay.
It's like Buffy.
Whole Buffy thing.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's,
I want to read it. Aaron, I'm like, Aaron, can we order it? No.
What?
He won't order it. Because
you know the thing is.
Girl, you got to do it.
Yeah. people order it.
Put me
and we
down.
Get him. Okay.
Put me down.
Okay.
If that's what it takes to get him to support some. And evidently, it's got some lesbians in it, too. It's kind of got a thing there.
There he goes, losing us again.
What?
He hasn't learned.
No, I'm just saying.
To our lesbian friends, I'm sorry. I love you.
I'm going to get that.
Let's Alison go Bechdel and eat oysters too. Together.
They don't like us. They don't even listen to us. Lesbians hate us.
That is not true.
That's not true.
And we made some lesbian friends at this Heroes Con who are going to listen to us. And we are going to hopefully in the future maybe even collaborate.
And that's not a dig at lesbians to go eat oysters because I love going to oyster bars.
I had oysters last night. She looked gross.
Bitch, you didn't even call me.
I was in Sarasota.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's a good place to eat oysters, though. No, I specifically want to shout out to Kate Leth. She did an impossible. After selling me the Lumberjanes variant cover, we were talking, and I knew she did Bravest Warriors. And she did Impossible Bear, which if you've not seen Impossible Bear, is one of the gayest things I've ever seen.
So many copies of the Impossible Bear special.
Save me one.
And I'm
so
willing them down.
Freaking Impossible Bear is a rainbow-colored, mustachioed, fluffy little bear. And I told Kate, I'm like, you know, that is probably the gayest thing I've ever seen. And I'm like, you know, she knows about bears and all that. So I said, wouldn't it be great if you could do like a bearish cover?
He pulled out the issue like everybody who's listening can see this.
Talking about it. I need a visual aid for myself and for you people.
You people.
We're
how
you
dare
people.
You?
We're fat, we're ugly, and we're you people.
And you're black, but I'm here. Dear God, I'm here.
So, Kate, I asked her. She did a variant cover of the Impossible Bear as a bear with a martini glass. And she didn't even know about Pat's business, which, by the way, the logo is a bear with a martini glass. And or rather, a martini glass with a bear in the olive. And she actually did this first for a child of age 10. Didn't realize or I guess kind of thought, oh, it'd be funny. And the kid gets it and it's just like, oh, well, that's okay. Like just didn't.
And you yanked it out of the hand, pushed him down. Yes. Like, I'll take this.
Knocked it. No, she did a different one for me. But no, it's great. And I'm actually really curious about Impossible Bear now. He might be my new little avatar. Until
he reads it.
It's silly. I know. It's Adventure Time. It's that same kind of crazy kids, whatever. But still, Impossible Bear, it's great. All right. So, what other indie stuff?
The Wake is finishing up.
Yes, it is. It's been great.
One more issue.
Oh, my God. No, that last more. Issue. No, it's one more.
One more.
That last, more. That issue. Oh, my God. It was like, wait, what's going on? This is crazy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're not reading it. You need to. It's beautiful.
It's been really good. What else has been coming out that I've liked? I think it's an Image book.
Okay. We're getting closer.
Sex
here.
Criminals came out.
Well,
continuation of the trade.
Right.
The next issue.
It's not that I
just wait,
like
the next
it,
issue
just,
after the trade came out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Did they take a break after that or before that?
They did a
I
break.
I don't know. They've been on break for like 18 months. Well, all we got to get is reprints of the issue one.
No, you're thinking of Hawkeye. No. Sex
no,
criminals?
I'm not thinking about Hawkeye.
They're doing that.
Sex Criminals, we had 12,000 first, fourth printing, fifth printing, eighth printing.
Well, let me tell you right now, Heroes, Zdarsky, and Fraction were there. And Kelly Sue, they're all in together. They had giant lines. The only lines that were bigger were Eastman for Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. And Starlin, occasionally, his line got long.
You ruined Stormwatch.
By the
and
way,
not saying something, because Stormwatch was flatlining.
Did you read the Thanos Annual?
Yes, I did. I read it.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed it.
You did?
I did. because I'm a sucker for that. Uh-huh. The problem is that
it's not the same Thanos that's in every other book. Like, there's two Thanos. Starlin said as much when we're standing there in line. He's like, the funny thing is, my Thanos, the one I created, is like to remind everybody, has moved on and is not this evil supervillain anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas every other Thanos in Marvel is the ultimate bad. So he's like, yeah, we're both kind of out there doing their thing and whatever. Mm-hmm.
He's just like, you know, playing the garden on this alien world. Nobody's bothering him.
Like you do.
Anyway. Like, oh, that's a good Thanos.
Thanos is planting a garden. Picture with like gloves on.
They pretty much shovel. That's how they left him after like Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, yeah, no. Oh, I had him sign a copy anyway because I was like,
mm-hmm.
You were hovering towards the
list book. Of things that have come. Cal, we mentioned. Rat Queens, we mentioned. Deadly Class is great. Fatale is wrapping up.
Deadly Class.
That's what it was.
Black Science.
Black Science is on hiatus right now, but it's coming back. I love Fatale. Seeing Fatale go is devastating, but Fade Out, which is the new Brubaker and Phillips Image book, looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
And they're going to, the first issue is going to be like an oversized, like movie magazine, like old school. It's just, you know, film noir, people killing people, Starlet dies. It's everything you ever want. If you like the Maltese Falcon,
it's like
that.
It's like Satellite Sam,
except good. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Don't let Kelly Sue.
That's another one, by the way.
Don't let Kelly Sue.
It's Fraction.
That.
It's Fraction that writes it. But
yeah,
I
know it's Fraction.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, I need to get issues that I am missing.
Of what?
Satellite Sam.
Well, you should have picked him up while you were out here. It's gone.
Seriously. That's another one we have to talk about. No, but it's been good. The last issue I read was good. So there's lots of good indie books out there. Mm-hmm. Now is an amazing time for independent publishers. Some were kind of figuring out, well, why are these doing so well now compared to other times? But I think it's just because they've got a lot of good talent, and they're letting them do what they want to do, and they've got a model that works for them, and it's good stuff. So, wrap things up here. We are having some great Microsoft content coming up. We have an interview with Brian Anderson from the X-Gaze coming up next. And then the feed when you get to it, or maybe when you listen to this, it's in there already. Just interviewed him. Super nice. So Super Duper is his series that he's – it's an anthology series, excuse me. We also have some interviews after that we're lining up, and again, a lot of them from Heroes Con. But we do want to hear from you, as always. We love the interaction. We've been getting a lot of traffic on Twitter and Facebook recently.
Thank you for that.
Flame On Podcast on Twitter, Flame On Show on Facebook, and flameonshow.com. We had set up a new phone number. It's up on our website. If you want to leave us a voicemail, please do. It's great.
The dirtier, the better.
We really... No, seriously, if you're listening to this right now, I have long enjoyed voicemail segments in other shows. And we have never had one. We did this years ago. We tried this, and nobody did nothing. So the phone number is up on our website. It is easy to call. It is a voicemail only, so you don't have to talk to any of us. You just get to leave your voicemail.
You know what would help? We gave the number right now.
What was that, Oral? You wanted the phone number? Well, how about you, Flamers, give us a call at 951-468-8-ASK. That's 951-468-8-ASK, and leave us a message.
Please call and leave us a voicemail, because I'd love to do this. The audio could go right in. We'll play pretty much anything you put up, because right now we've had nothing.
You know, I was going to make a joke about how no one's called our line, like nobody calls my phone on a Friday night to go on a date, but we know that's not the case, because I'm a slut.
Oh!
I'm not a slut. I'm just a liberated woman.
Uh-huh. So please leave us a voicemail. Email us info at flameonshow.com. All of our names at flameonshow. If you want to reach out to any of us, you can. Oral, Brian, Jared,
especially
Eric.
If you're cute.
If you're cute. Jeff at flameonshow.com. Pat at flameonshow.com. And Tumblr. That's another area where we've been actually getting a lot of good feedback for a picture that I took at Beach Bear.
Oh, that's cute.
I posted a picture of a guy we met named Glenn. We have a Tumblr. You didn't know that?
Nobody knew but you, bitch.
Oh, well, All right. But no, the Tumblr.
It's nothing but dick pics.
It is. It really is basically. No. It's.
And because we don't contribute to it, it's just without one the dick. Icon of it's the just corner. One dick over and over again.
Now, I do most of the posting. I think Patton might have access to it. But anyway, it's great. We get to reblog stuff. We get to make new fans that way.
I'll totally tumble.
It's fun. No, I'll hook you up. It's easy. Okay. But no, please check out our Tumblr. It's Flame On Show as well, I think. Maybe Flame On Podcast. But look for Flame On. You'll find us either way. And I think that's everything.
Yeah. Oh, P to the S. Uh-huh. Just to let you know, we have a very special listener in Barcelona.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Who's
mm-hmm.
that?
Her name is Jessica.
Okay.
She's a Spanish princess. And I hate her.
I hate you, Jessica.
I hate her with the passion of a billion exploding suns.
Okay.
But I say that with love because she's a Spanish princess.
All right. And she's in Barcelona.
And she's living in Barcelona.
Oh.
City center, that is.
Well, enjoy Barcelona.
Flame off.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, a comic shop, and the generous support of tops and bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out FlameOnShow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.